Good morning. We're so glad you joined with us today. We have our All Villages team, I'm sure, that's logged in and enjoying their coffee or their tea. And we're so glad again that you took time to be here with us. We know it's not like meeting together, but we also know that from last week that it's not just our All Villages family. And so welcome. If you're from Hungary, we just say hello. If you're from Indiana, welcome back. If you're from Jersey or somewhere else, we're so glad you joined us. We hope and pray that God would use this time to encourage you in your journey with the Lord, that you would know of his love more tangibly, that it would not be something that just something we just kind of put on and move on, but that God would meet us here. He is good. Let us begin with prayer. Beautiful God, we thank you. We thank you for your amazing love, that even in spite of our circumstances, even in spite of where the world is, you are good. You are beautiful. You are even glorious. We ask that you would help us to turn our eyes to you, that we would find our hope, our faith, our strength in you. Take this time and use it for your glory. Use it so others, so we can become the people you imagine us becoming. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Before I begin, I got to just say thank you. We have, for at least our All Villages family, we've had so many people step up. I asked last week that you'd consider praying the Lord's Prayer over the next several days. And in that, I asked that you would take God's, I think, his lead and look to connect with people and encourage them. And so many of you I've contacted personally. Our deacons have been phenomenal. They have really reached out. And we've had other of our church, other church partners that have just really stepped in and tried to just reach out to others. And we're just so glad that our church community, even though we might feel disconnected, we're still staying connected through God's love and through his work in us. And so just thank you for that. I have a sign here. I'm not sure how well it looks, but I hope it turns out well. So it ain't home sweet home. Adjust. This is a picture that we found, a plaque that we found up in North Carolina this last summer. My family, we have it in our house, and we actually have it in a place where it's kind of just like, just not the way it's supposed to be, you know, just kind of like cluttered stuff, and we're like, hey, this is just kind of, it fits. And when I was preparing the message today, one of the things that, for today, one of the things that I thought that was really important was kind of just an important aspect that sometimes we get stuck. We get stuck in looking at our problems and our challenges more than turning our eyes and looking to Jesus and asking him to be our strength. And so there's going to be some things here that, yeah, you know what, this isn't what we intended when it comes to church gatherings, and yet we're gonna adjust to it. We're going to grow through it. We're going to be flexible because of what God's doing in it and through it. And so, yeah, so let us just adjust that that expectation. Last week, if you were able to join us, and if you can find a link on our website, and you can also find it on Facebook, I talked to you about how to actually live in faith and not in fear. And so one of the ways I talked about how important it was to, again, lean on the Lord, trust in him, to not get stuck in our fears, was by looking to Jesus. That looking to Jesus is really the only true way for us to truly have that peace, that presence of mind and spirit that God can only bring. And it begins with us saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm struggling, or I'm worried about. And that as we continue to reach out to him, that he turns our worries into prayers, and he turns our prayers into faith. And I just think it's important that we don't forget that. We continue to lift our hearts up to him, lift up our world up to him, and pray, no matter what challenges we're facing, that we know he's with us every step of the way. So this week, I want to talk to you about how do you find contentment in the midst of all the challenges that we face. I don't know about you, but many people have been struggling when it comes to just if they have a local business, if they have money in the stock market. Yeah, well, I'm going to say don't sell, keep it. But the contentment aspect is so difficult sometimes. We're not trying pretend. We're not talking about contentment just as in like, I just got to, you know, just deal with this and just, it'll get better. I mean, yes, there's some of that, but that's not the contentment I'm talking about. And it's not the contentment I think that the Lord wants us to know and have in our lives. To bring this to kind of focus, we're going to look at a text in Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. So open up your Bibles if you haven't already opened them up. It's in the New Testament. Again, chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And in that verse, in these verses, you're going to see that this is a call for us to know that we can have that contentment, that we can find that peace that passes all understanding, that our God is with us every step of the way. And just kind of give you a little background information, that Philippians wasn't written by a pastor or a believer who just didn't have any challenges. It's actually written by a gentleman named Paul. And Paul was a great Jewish man who came to know Jesus, and in his transformation, in his walking with the Lord, he took him through some really challenging moments. He was probably one of the best and brightest of his class, of his day. It was kind of a human dynamo when it came to energy. We just kind of see that in multiple letters. He wrote about a third of the New Testament, and so he's got a lot to say about who Jesus is, but in his writings, we shouldn't miss again where he's writing from. We know he's writing to this church in Greece, Philippi, but we also know that he was also in prison during this time. What's really interesting is that we might feel imprisoned, but we still have usually, like, I don't know, power. We have AC. We have cable. We have ability to kind of still stay connected, whether it be social media, whether it be through stuff like this, and worshiping together via online. But he was stuck in a jail. He was imprisoned for his faith, and yet this letter is probably the most positive letter he ever wrote. Just encouraging, someone who has been through the ringer and come through the other side has said, listen, there's a way through this difficulty. It's not about trying harder, it's about trusting more. It's not about pretending, but truly leaning in and saying, Lord, help me through this. Help me to grow through this. I think that he would say today that God doesn't ever waste a hurt. That through the pain, whether it be individually, choices we make that we might have regrets, or choices we make that were maybe mistakes, that he can still use it for good. But we also believe that not only can he do it individually, but he does it for us as a church. That together, we can get through this. Together, we can grow through this. What would it look like if through this next 2-4 weeks, we hope not more than that, but what if we grew stronger from it? That we grew in our faith and our trust in the Lord, that we grew more in love, more in step with who the Lord is and what he wants to do. That's been my prayer, and I hope you'll join me in that prayer. Let's jump in to see where Paul takes us in this. He says this, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Now, I underline the word learn because it's something that doesn't just come natural, I believe, unless you're just really, really, wise beyond your years. It's something that happens over time. Think about when you were a child. And your parents or grandparents or loved ones said, you know, you asked, oh, can I have this? Or it would be ice cream, or can we go do this, afterwards, go to the park and go on a swing or whatever. And they said, I'm sorry, we can't do that right now. For whatever reason, they probably understood, again, bigger picture of what was expected and what responsibilities they had and where they needed to go and so on. But they taught us sometimes that getting what we want isn't always that important. That's hard to say that, and yet it's so true, as you probably know deep down. But when it's someone else, we see that pretty easily. You know, they need to learn to accept the way things are, as the sign says, adjust. And yet, so many of us struggle with that. None of us imagine this happening. No one imagined this happening. And so it's tough for us to just kind of wrap our minds around it. But notice these last three words here in the beginning of this verse. I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Whatever the circumstances. Huh. That's not just if the circumstances finally, I do see how this is going to work out. Great, then we're good with it. or, you know, when it's for someone else, we can easily tell someone, you know, God's going to use us for good somehow. It's easier to believe that. But then in our own lives, when we're not expecting it, we're not seeing it, we don't understand it, it's a lot more difficult, isn't it? This is a gentleman who had been through shipwrecks, other imprisonments, beaten, wrongfully, when it came to accused and shamed in that culture. And that was such an honor-shame culture that there was nothing really greater you could do to a person than shame them. And so he had been through so much. He'd been bitten by snakes. There's just so many things that we have accounts of. You can check it out in the book of Acts, if you want, and in 2 Corinthians he talks about it as well. But in there, he talks about how God really transformed him and changed him over the course. And we are so blessed to have his writings because it helps us see it. It's not just a moment in time he speaks, which, again, we're grateful for that. But we kind of get a little bigger picture. They estimate about 10 years was his ministry, believe it or not, 10 years. Been involved in ministry for over 20 years, maybe, oh gosh, 30 years. 30 now, wow, 30 years. And yet, how about that? That there's a man who took what he had and in reality said, you know, I did a whole bunch of good stuff, but it was really not worth it. It really wasn't something that changed lives. It kind of put the shackles on people. I heard this week from one of our Bible studies, I was, ran into him, and it was good. We kept our distance, but it was good to hear about what God was doing in their lives. And they said that in their study, they heard this statement. They said, when humans try to do God's work from their humanity, it becomes religion. And I went, whoa, that's pretty good stuff. And then they say, you know, but walking with Jesus is when humans be the people they are supposed to be. They walk with God, they learn from God, and they walk in step with God. And it's something that we can learn, that whatever the circumstances, we can be content. He goes on to explain it like this. I'll keep reading. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. So he's not just saying, you know, you can do it, you know, keep it up. He's like, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it's like to have that. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do all this. All in the Greek means all. It means exactly what he's trying to say. It's that no matter what we're facing, we can make it. We can do it through him. Not again by us trying harder, not by us pretending, not by us just trying to fake it. No. It's by learning to find our hope and our grace and our strength in him. And I pray that by the time we're done today, you'll learn a little bit more of that secret that he learned over the years he was serving. And he kind of wraps it up. He says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. And I leave it with that too, because at first I was going to leave it just at verse 13. But I thought of this is that the church shared in the troubles of Paul. It wasn't something that he just took lightly. It was something that he really just was so appreciative. And it's in that good that we're blessed when we share the burdens of others. I was checked in on a few of you and did some drop-offs of some TP. So, you know, I'm going to make sure everyone's taking care of what they need to take care of. And in that, though, it's just to, you know, hear where they're at and to see the joy in their face and to see that even though this is not what anyone had planned, they're still trusting the Lord. And there's so much encouragement in that. For me, I hope it encourages you. Who can you encourage this week? Who can you reach out to and let them know that you're praying for them, that you love them, that, more importantly, God loves them? Maybe he put them on your heart for a reason. And if at home, at least for all villagers that are watching, but everyone's invited, please respond. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, right? Amen. So again, suffering. It's such a big part of this world. Here in the West, we're experiencing it in ways that we just aren't used to. Whenever I go on mission trips and stuff overseas, believe it or not, the number one thing I'd hear from people that were devoted followers that were engaged in their community and leaders in their community was, you know, how do you deal with all the challenges in the United States? And I'm like, temptation? Like, what are you talking about? Like, what are our challenges? And they almost always, Bahamas, Mexico, and a couple other places, they just, you know, because all the distractions you have, it's so easy to get busy, isn't it? And we're like, oh yeah, absolutely, before you know it. And so this time of whether it be isolation or just not going out much or again, just trying to go through your normal day with, again, being safe and stuff, we need to encourage one another in realizing we have an opportunity here to have that focus on the Lord, to have that opportunity to invite Him to meet us where we're at, to know of His love, to experience His grace. Something that you might not know, because again, today is 2020, when this was written in the early hundreds or zeros, I guess you'd say, in the first century of Christianity, Philippi was a pretty, you know, extravagant place when it came to being Greece, and lots of challenges. It was one of the first places outside of the normal Jewish kind of expanse that it was a true test whether Christianity would make it with all the other pagan temples and gods and goddesses and stuff. And so, like, in that common day of time, you kind of were expecting bad things were going to happen to you. And if something bad did happen, it was from, you know, a local deity that you disappointed. You didn't give enough grain to, or you didn't make the right prayer. That the gods were out to get you, even. Just depending on what corner you went around. And so this idea that Paul is talking about is trying to help them understand that, listen, this is a game changer. That we have a God that's not just a God that's just big and great and almighty, which He is, but we have a God who's personal as well. He's big and small. That, yes, He's great and almighty, and yet He lives in our hearts as well. And so we have an opportunity to understand that this God is not out to get us in any negative way, but He's out to get us, to teach us to know Him, to learn to, again, walk in step with Him. And that's really what I kind of want to encourage you with. That's the real great and challenging lesson that we all face. How do we, on a daily basis, learn to grow, learn to trust, learn to lean, learn to know this God, that He's bigger and yet loving? You know what? Let me take that back. He's not just loving, He's love. That the first and foremost thing that defines who He is love. And it's not Hallmark love. I know there's a lot of people that like Hallmark movies, enjoy them. But I'm talking about a love that's sacrificial, a love that serves, a love that's not looking out for its own interests, but the interests of others. That's the lesson that, if we can get it, or we can wrap our mind around it, through His grace, by prayer, we can learn this lesson that maybe we don't have to have several shipwrecks. Maybe we don't have to be imprisoned wrongly, multiple times beaten. The challenges of not having food or a place even to lay your head. But by prayer and faith, maybe we can learn that we can endure anything because of His grace. But it'll take us to surrender all that we are and put it in His hands. And learn, or should I say discover, that that's all we need. That He promises a peace that passes all understanding. That with Him, we have it all taken care of. Bring a cup here this morning to show you that when we try to do it on our own, when we try to make it on our own, when we try to do it without the Lord, when we try to just keep doing maybe what we've always been doing, but it really hasn't been walking in step with the Lord, our cup's going to be empty. Don't get me wrong. I think God has made people, humanity, amazing. Incredible gifts and abilities that, man, we can change the world. But over time, that cup can get pretty empty. And it's only through our coming into that relationship with Jesus, through His grace pouring into us, that what we have in our cup is enough. That we have in our cup, we'll find even bigger and more that we can actually pour into other people's lives. And we don't feel weaker for it. We feel more alive because of it. So I want to invite you to realize that this ability to endure anything doesn't come from within. It comes from outside. It comes from God's Spirit again pouring into us and helping us. But it starts with us breathing deep, breathing out, and knowing who He is. And in that, we can experience His peace and His presence in a tangible way. So that's my prayer for you, that this week you'll have some of those quiet times, those times alone just with Him. If you took my advice and maybe put your set your watch or put an alarm on your phone or something to pray the Lord's Prayer, I want you to maybe keep those alarms going. Set a time where you can just be still before the Lord. Doesn't have to be long, but don't be afraid of it either. You may find that His peace just is something you haven't felt in a while. And in this time we feel so disconnected, maybe that time with the Lord you can get reconnected. And so I just want to encourage you in this time to know of His love more personally. There's a verse that I'm going to leave with you, and I think we're going to be talking about a little bit more even next week. I want to leave this with you. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Again, this is from Philippians, just before the scripture he's teaching on. But it's this always part. We don't rejoice for everything, but we rejoice in the Lord always. That it's not about just, again, well, praise God that this has happened in our stock market, or praise God this has happened to someone's health. No, we don't say that. That'd be foolish. That's not at all what the scriptures teach. No, it's rejoice, celebrate who God is. Celebrate in the Lord always. And in our celebration, we'll find that our cup gets fuller and fuller. And so let us celebrate God this week. If you're looking for some extra homework, something that maybe you haven't done in a while, or maybe you've never done before, I want to invite you to read the whole book of Philippians. It's not long. It's 4 chapters. You can handle it. You read a chapter a day, you're going to have 3 days that you're going to be like, what do we do now? So, you know, you may find that you can't stop reading it once you started. If you don't have a Bible or a good Bible, recommend on the app, the Bible app, download it. You can look at even your favorite one. If your favorite's King James, check it out. If you're not sure what to start with, go with the Message. It says MSG. Don't worry about it. You won't get any problems with that from Chinese food. But the MSG is the Message. And so download that and check it out and read the Philippians in there. It's like a letter written just for you. Let us pray. Beautiful God, we thank You. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You that Your love for us is bigger than we realize. Help us now to breathe You in and breathe You out. That as we come to know Your love and Your grace and Your mercy, that we would be so impressed by Your peace, by Your goodness, by Your grace. We give You thanks. We give You praise. Continue to gather us together more and more in our hearts and our prayers. And may this time not be a time of isolation, but even enriching our connection with You and with one another. We pray this in the mighty name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ, who indwells you, has something He wants to do through you, where you are. Believe this. Go in His grace, go in His love, and go in His power. Amen. We'll see you guys next week. Take care.